Hello everyone, this is Ro, a show where two Russians talk about what's going on in the world. So let's share some stories. It's all the same shit, it's the coronavirus.
Fine. Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of disappointment happening out there, but also a lot of positive things happening, I think. For example, people started to change their habits. Like, for if we take e-commerce sellers, it's like a high time for them, right? Because even in Moscow, we have this situation when you like all the people started to use food delivery services a lot, like like Uber Eats and that kind of stuff, way more than usual, and they even don't have enough people to deliver all the products, right? And all the usual stores, which supermarkets, they switched to the delivery thing, right?
Yeah, yes, I want to talk with about this with you, because look, I think the revolution really came with not the usual food that you already ordered before, like some pizza stuff, some McDonald's stuff, some, I don't know, spaghetti stuff, but real raw food from the supermarket, you know? So you don't need to go right now to buy like some water, to buy some potatoes, to buy some chocolate. You just can order it. And I actually, when I was in the, well, I'm still in the quarantine, but the, like 2 weeks ago when it all started, and like I were at home and I tried it for the first time. Like order some raw food from the from this service. And it just took like 15 minutes to bring the food to my door. And the price is quite the same.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, 15 minutes. It's like, it's super quick. I went to take a shower when I was still wet. They already took on my door. So it was very, very, very quick. And the thing is, it's a little bit more expensive. It's logical because you have a guy that picks the food. But it was I was surprised, because if I did the same like by myself, it will took like three time more, like, you know, minutes already to have this food at my house.
It would be like 40 minutes to go back and forth.
Yeah, but they already have a system. It's not like this guy, this delivery guy, goes to the shop and he buys those things. No, he already have like these stores when they have this food already, you know, from the catalog. So it's more easier. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like Yandex Delivery Club. They already have this agreement, so they have this production of food there in the store, in the I don't know, in the in these big like places, I don't know, in these like big stores already.
Warehouses.
So they already they just pack it like very quickly, like you just buy it, boom, they pack it like in 2 minutes, and you have, they have a guy there that already goes to your house. And they have these warehouses like by the area, so if you live in some area, you usually have like a close warehouse there. In different area, they have different warehouses. So it's not like a big one warehouse. So it's very, it's, I think this is going to be the big change. So we don't, right now, if I want to pick some food, I'm just going to order like some food at home, you know, to bring.
So now you can say that you're going to change your habits, right?
Yeah, because I mean, in Moscow we have a lot of people, and sometimes I go to a store, even if it's small, it takes you a lot of time, because I have this problem with the decision when I'm in the supermarket. I mean, if I can track, you know, I think it, all the people are the same. If you can track like your food tracking, you like going in circles, you know, you go here, then you go back to the first point, and then you go back again, and then you go to different places and areas like two or three times. So you spend like three or four times that you really actually need. So I think this, when you can pick it like in Amazon or like in e-commerce, it's very, very easy, and you save a lot of time, like huge amount of time.
And Can you tell me, well, because the place where I am, we actually don't use that kind of delivery a lot because it's like a small town in Russia. And, well, they actually have this phone delivery, so you can call the supermarket and, you know, name the products that you want. But I don't think somebody is using that because we don't have that kind of strict policies at the moment. And it's interesting for me how you approach the product choice. Like, do you feel like you're spending more money because it's like easy to put the products in your basket online in the app because, you know, you just tap yeah. and you just select something? Or is it like, you know, you became more conscious about what you are buying in terms of food? Because, you know, when you are in a supermarket, you go down, and actually all the economics of supermarket is about taking your money. Like, yeah. you are going down the supermarket and they have special micro logistics there to make you take a lot of extra products that you actually don't need. You just see them, or you feel the smell of the bread and you're like, oh, I want this fresh bread, freshly baked, you know. Or you see those chocolates and you are like, okay, I will take that. And you take a lot of small stuff that you actually don't need, right? And that is how they're taking your money. And what happens there? Like, is it easy to take this spend the money, or you became conscious?
I think I spent more consciously because I can see actually the amount of money that I'm spending, you know, in real time. Yeah. So I add something and yeah. I already can see it. In the supermarket, you cannot see, or, well, you can like count it in your head, but it's not going to be accurate
yeah.
at all. So here it's like when I buy in Amazon, I can actually control more how the amount of money that I spent in real time, because in supermarket, as you said, you go through one place and it's like, oh yes, and of course the yogurt, boom, you pick up the yogurt, and then when you return to the cash desk, to the cash out place,
cashier
it's like, oh yes, and I need this gun and I need this Pepsi, or I need something from like from the desk that they have there. So yes, I think you spend more efficiently, but there is a difference in price because you have like this delivery staff, you know, delivery person that also needs to work there and they pay it. So you need to care this difference in prices is a little bit higher in the online.
So all the products are a bit more expensive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, a little, yeah. And
so you don't see the final price, like the final difference for the delivery. You don't have the price, the delivery price,
no.
because it's already included.
Yeah, that's the stuff that they
right?
that they want to. I think all they're gonna, because right now I think that the delivery price is like, it's that thing that the people is just, they turn it like turn down the buy because of the delivery price, you know. This like $3
yeah.
or $5 or like $7 even. So when you don't have, when it's delivery free, you're like, oh, perfect. It's delivery free. So I can buy just two things or three, and it's going to be like, I don't going to pay for the delivery. But this is also a mistake because this difference in the price, it's already fixed in the price of the product.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
and it's also interesting if they're going to keep that price difference the same when all this, you know, coronavirus thing ends, and they will see a lot of people that will continue using delivery from the shops to their homes, right? Will they change this price higher, for example? Because they are always in control of that.
Well, I maybe, but I mean, if they already like pull the price up right now, so I think it's gonna be down. when it's all finished, because right now all the people are buying from home. But I don't know. I think it's like it should be even cheaper, because it's gonna be like massive, a massive service, you know, like Amazon or like a lot of different services, e-commerce services. So
yeah.
I think it should be a standard in like from here to 5 or 10 years in the future. So everyone can buy stuff to home in China. We have a friend that lives in China, and in China, like 50% of the people are buying like food from home, and you can't buy like everything, because that's the other thing. In Moscow, you cannot buy everything. You cannot buy like 1 kilo of potatoes, for example, or like 1.5 kilos of potatoes, or like 300 grams of tomatoes. So you have these packs.
Yeah.
You have these packs, like 6 tomatoes.
Oh.
And it's very expensive, because it's like it comes with like the ticket, so it's like some brand tomatoes, you know, you understand, like it's more expensive, and I think you cannot buy like some stuff like I don't know. Well, it's actually you can.
And how can you buy nuts, for example?
All the same, it's branded. So you have like branded nuts in a pack of like 300 grams of nuts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because it's branded. So it's not like you go and you can buy it like per kilo, you know? You buy it.
We
like,
have some freezes out there.
Yeah, and you cannot like buy fresh fish, for example, fresh fish or some fresh meat. It's all like packed, but well, I think it's a progress, and if it's very comfortable to buy things from home, but because the experience of like spending out of time shopping is horrible to the people, because you're already returning from home from work, and you have this 1, 3, or 2 hours to be with your family, and if you go to a shop, maybe you're gonna be there like 1 hour minimum. So you just arrive at 9 at 10 o'clock, and then if you have a small kid, as you know, the small kids, they go to bed like earlier, so you have like 30 minutes with your kid or 1 hour already. I don't know. I think it.
Yeah.
I think time matters. So if we can make our life less time useless, it's gonna be better for all the people.
For sure, I think time is precious. So I hope it will be widespread. Actually,
yeah.
And still, we see a lot of people changing their habits, not only about their like home stuff and delivery, but also related to their work. And I know that you are working from home.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies have the policy of like work from home policy at the moment. So me, I'm working remotely for 4 years already, or even more. And I, as far as I know, it is quite a new thing for you. So how's your experience about that?
Well, my experience depends. It depends what you want to know, because our company, it's like more television and video company. So it's difficult to work from home, you know, because right now all the video production, it's on froze. So it's it's like it's not the best example, and as far as I know, a lot of people like they're supposed to work from home, but it's really difficult to work to do more something more than just like Word files or like some mailing work, you know, because this is a big difference. And maybe we can do some special with working from home. What do you think? Because you have a lot of experience and I don't have experience. So we can like use this non-experience and experience to do something like bigger, to a separate podcast in the future. But I think that the main difference is like you are working from home, like remotely for like 2 years or a lot of years right now. Yeah. And your company, they already like thought it for you. So, I mean, they have a structure when you're working from home. So they have the tools they know how it's going to be. If you have a company that work in the office, all the company, and in one day you need to work from home, they need to work from home, all the people, it's going to be a little chaos, you know, chaos, because they don't we don't have the tools, the right tools. They don't have the tools to give us and say like, look, this is going to be the tool, this is how we're going to work, because it's like an habit. So if you like training, training swimming for 1 year, and then you have to compete in like in running, you know, it's a different discipline. So it, I think a lot of companies, they adapt some measures to work from home, but I think the 90%, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So it's just the people like do the less. So they do the minimum, and the companies are trying to survive, because really, because a lot of companies cannot, if you work in a bakery or if you work in a bar, you cannot work from home. Come on. It's like, I think we don't need to confuse these terms, like work remotely and work from home in this situation, because this is an exception. So a lot of people are working from home because they cannot be in the office, not because the bosses adapt this measure. You know what I mean? So
but what do you think, they cannot work from home even if they have this kind of office job? Their company is not ready, or because they don't have tools, or just because people are not used to that?
No, I definitely think that the majority of these people can work from home or from the bar or from the cafeteria or from, I don't know, whatever they are. The thing is that you need to, the company needs to give you these tools. For example, if you're a journalist and you're at the office, you have this telephone that can record the calls, you know, because you record the calls and you have these phones that they have video conference. So it's not the same that if these people is like it's like a basic user of computer, it's going to be a headache to, you know, to use this the same tool in Skype or in Zoom or in other. So or the company gives these tools to the place, to the home. So they take these phones, they take these computers to edit. For example, if you are a video edit, if you work in a video production, you need these powerful computers to edit video. Or if you work in a, I don't know, in a recording studio, imagine working from home if you are working in a recording studio. So, but I think like some basics work, like when it's all just you and your computer and your basic computer, of course you can work from home. But then it's like, do we really, the question for you, it's like, do we really need these people to work from remotely? What is going to be for the company? What's the benefit for the company that these people work from home? Like, for example, a secretary or some, I don't know, some writer or some, I don't know. Well, I think you understand what I want to mean.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you are talking about. Well, I should mention that I'm working in a startup, and I cannot say that they are like remote first company. We have some kind of structure for remote work, but basically we are a hybrid company, and we have office in San Francisco, and we have office in Moscow, and we have another one office somewhere. So we just have a distributed team, and that is why we have to be, you know, flexible, and we have to find the right tools and set up the right processes to make sure we can perform at our best as a team.
Yeah, but those tools, they already give it to you since this moment zero, yeah? You already have these tools.
No. Well, part of them. We have a part of them, but also you have to learn a lot. And also, all the team is open to, like, we always find some kind of a new tool that might be helpful, and we test it out. And if it works for us, we just implement it to the whole team.
Yeah. But what is the benefit for the company to have, the 50% of their workers at home or at some different place outside, you know?
Well,
of the office.
Obviously, it's like, you know, super, super interesting for a company to have that kind of structure, because imagine how much money they are saving on equipment, office space, and it goes to office rent, right? And to the tools, like all the equipment and stuff that people use, all the bonuses like food and other like goodies that people have in their offices, water coolers and that sort of thing, you know, they are saving a lot of money. And actually, they can, if they are like a responsible company, they are supposed to invest a part of that money they save to the people.
Yeah.
Because that is how they can improve actually the lives of people and make their coworkers happier, to make sure they can perform for the team and for the company at their best, and to make sure that they feel comfortable there. I think it's really good. And well, honestly, I'm a big believer in remote work, so it's really hard to for me to to talk about that from the different side. But of course, I've spent some time working in the office as well, and I can understand the pros for working in the office actually. And I see some people that prefer working in the office actually, and I see a lot of comments from the team actually when we have those Zoom calls, a huge conference calls of like 10, 20 and more people participating at the same time. And I see a lot of them saying that they're missing office space, because we have a really nice co-working space and nice people working out there. So yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that's what you just said. It's like very important, because sometimes when your work isolated from the other people of your team, you starting to feel like lonely, and it's not the same. You don't have this group, the group motivation and the group workflow. It's very important also, you know. So
yeah.
I think it's like it has benefits, but it also has like some disadvantages, like working by yourself to a company. But we live in a world that you can communicate, you can do these video conferences like from everywhere if you have internet and right equipment. So I think it's
I should say that for me, a huge and interesting example are the companies that like remote first, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have some examples in my mind. It's like companies like Zapier and Webflow, and well, mostly those are like IT companies for sure. But the main thing here is that those are like already huge companies with hundreds of employees. And they work remotely from the day zero, you know. And
can I ask you, sorry, can I ask you something? These companies are young companies, because this is important, like the people who run it.
Well, those are like 5 to 7 years, I think. I cannot say that those are like young companies.
The people who run, they're young people. I mean, they're like new generation of entrepreneurs.
Well, those are like, I think they are already over somewhere between their 30s and 40s. But also you should understand, those are like, they've been startups and now they have those huge investments and they have a board of directors and that kind of stuff. So they have really different people working in their teams. And I'm sure we are not talking only about people in their early 20s, you know. Of course, they have a lot of that kind of people, but also they have people in their like 40s and even older. And it's just a matter of your, you know, will to learn and to learn something new in terms of how you can work and approach your work process, workflow. And yeah, I think a lot of processes they've implemented to perform remotely, and we can definitely, a lot of companies can learn from them a lot of interesting things, because there's, well, the main thing about remote work is transparency, a huge level of transparency, you know, because you have to document all the stuff that you do, and yeah, you should make sure that you have a process for new people to consume all the information and to understand that in a way that you want it to be, right? Because when you have hundreds of people working with you, you just cannot always jump on a call to discuss the same question all the time. So you have to document the process to make sure that people can, a lot of people can read it and understand.
And synchronize.
So
yeah,
it, yes, yes. And that is something that actually makes this work harder than like a usual office job, because you have to learn all the time.
So you don't think it's like an age, so you don't think that the age really matters as far as it takes to run a remote company? Because I have this situation when I talk with one of my bosses about the thing that you just say, that a lot of people can work remotely that are already in the office, and it takes out of space, yeah, and it takes out of cost to the company. But he just really said that he don't trust the people to like,
yeah,
not because he don't trust the people, because he don't trust the workflow. Yeah. He don't trust like how the people, yeah, are gonna work from home. He cannot control them.
Yeah.
He cannot control what,
yes,
time they start.
Yes.
He cannot control what time they finish. And that's the stuff. If they are in the office, you can control them. So you can know if they took like 2 hours break to go to a lunch, or 1 hour, you know, break.
Yeah.
So this is also it's a thing of trust, I think. It's a trust.
Yeah. Well, it's, I should say that it's one of the major concerns against remote work that older people have, like, or not older, but, you know, people who work 9-to-5 jobs, and those like huge bosses that
old school bosses
old school guys that, you know, feel like when they have people sitting in their office, they feel like they have a control that, but actually we should be honest, they have no control. And the thing we are talking about right now is called micromanagement, when you just go around the office and just watch what other people have on their laptops or screens, right? To make sure that they are not doing, they're not playing games or chatting with their friends and family, right? And actually, it's not a productive work at all. It has no relation to work that you are doing, right? And what those managers should actually do, because those managers are hired to think about how they can develop the company, how they can make it more effective, or how they can make like more money or something like that, right? And you are hired to make your to do your job that you can, that you are supposed to do, and well, what you are hired to do. And it doesn't matter if you have your boss sitting behind your back and watching what's happening on your computer. So I believe that it's a huge bias that those people have. They are just lying to themselves and to other people by saying that they have a sense of control when they are in the office and those people are sitting in the office. And I even have one guy, I've subscribed on his YouTube channel, and I will share some of his videos. It's a guy from US and he's a coder. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's freelance or not, but he's like one of those IT opinion leaders. Like, he's making videos about how people can actually become a coder, for example, or how they can change their life. And he's just telling some of his personal stories, and also he chats with the other guys that changed their life like drastically, you know, like, well, interesting to see what he's talking about. And he has a series of videos about like corporate cringe. It's called corporate cringe, when he's just taking some videos from traditional offices or like interviews with traditional bosses that say that kind of things that you describe, like sitting in the office and effective work in the office, that kind of thing. And he just makes a huge cringe on that, because it's definitely, when you listen to that, it really sounds a bit weird, because people are just not understanding the main thing about work process.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, very interesting stuff, and a very interesting and promising way of working. And I think we're gonna follow this in a lot of our programs, because it's like very, very actual.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think we should pay attention to it, but I wasn't expecting that we will pay too much time to that. So let's move on.
So I want to discuss with you with this trend of video conferences. Right now, it's a huge boom, and we see some old companies, they starting to work again, like in Russia, ICQ.
Yeah.
It's a very old video chat.
Yeah, it's classics.
And Google Hangouts, it's like Google Meet. And Zoom, it's now trending, and we have Discord. You know, Discord is like also for video conferences,
sure,
apps. So the interesting thing about this is like this video conferences rooms now became like bars or like coffee shops. Yeah. It's a new virtual place. So with this pandemic, we're like going one step into the future. Yeah. Do you feel like this way?
Well,
so
I actually don't feel like that, because it's just a matter of time, and I think it's more like a consequence of the situation that happened to people when so much people had to stay at home. And of course, when that kind of thing happens, people just start to think what they can do and to stay in touch. And but I think when all this thing will end, I'm not sure those bars, for example, would survive, because, you know, when we talk about bar,
so no bars anymore.
It's like a place where you would like to go and to sit and to have a nice drink and made by a professional. And, you know, you want to feel this atmosphere. You go there because you want to feel this atmosphere.
Definitely.
Me personally, I prefer those old-fashioned bars like you have it in US, for example, with all this wood and stuff. So with wood and bearded guys, you know, and nice women around and that kind of thing. So
Irish stuff.
maybe, but more like underground bars in US. But those are not underground now.
Yeah, but what I want to talk with you is like we also have this vision of the future in which we are very isolated. from the rest of the people, yeah. You know, these dystopical movies,
yeah,
when the people are very lonely, like her, or like, I don't know, Blade Runner, for example. So, and you just communicate, or a lot of episodes of Black Mirror,
yeah,
when we are like at home and we play, we communicate by a screen. So it seems like if this is the future, it sucks, because you can, it's like all is virtual right now. So if we don't gonna go to shop, so we have more time, but how we spend more time? If we spend it at home and just talking with our friends by video, it's awful, you know?
Well, because you have the mind of the old man, but for young people, I don't think that they are actually... I actually don't think that something changed for them, because they spend a lot of time, you know, chatting on videos for a while. So I actually think that nothing has changed for them. And even for me, and I'm not that young already, so I'm not that old as well.
No, but you're a geek, come on.
Yeah, but, I don't feel that something has changed for me, actually, because I even haven't mentioned how all this quarantine thing happened, because I was doing the same stuff that I was always doing, and I had Zoom calls before, a long time before that, and I just have... a bit more of them now, but that's okay. As I feel like there are some new things happening, like online conferences and these live streams that even me, I started to participate in that, and I have a new online conference on Monday where I would be speaking on remote work and something. I think some kind of new thing happening. But I feel like people are okay with that, and people like you are definitely not.
No, but yeah, and well, because I really enjoy the pleasure of the real, you know, the real conversation in person, not by some chat or something like that, because it's like we're losing this emotional part of the people.
Well,
if we are gonna do yeah. We already meet online on Tinder, and we already like do all the stuff online. The people started to train online with like virtual or like recorded trainers.
Yeah.
So is it possible to live just in your house?
I think and it's
no go out. You know.
I think it's already possible, for sure. But
yeah, it's of course it's possible, but it's really sucks, because we're gonna have sex soon by online virtual. I think a lot of people are like having sex right now by some Zoom or
I think they have VR trained in that right now, because after
have
VR. You seen those Half-Life Alyx gameplay?
Yeah, I saw some reviews, some play games, you know, video recording YouTube's.
It looks amazing.
And
it's compared amazing, to what I saw about VR games and VR like virtual reality thing, it looks way more better now. And I think if it will continue developing like that. You remember that movie? I'm not sure if you have seen that or not. I don't remember the name. It was about like people sitting in their homes and they had these glasses or something, and they had like virtual avatars or something, and they were communicating online only, and like they had like a different like virtual world that was really close to the real one, but they had those unreal outlook, and actually they looked awful offline because those are like fat guys sitting in the chair. So
sounds like gamer maybe a movie with Gerard Butler with
I don't remember the name, but
sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
No, it was like a movie that I saw, I think, in the cinema. I think we are really close to that because, you know, as soon as the device is like the one they had for Half-Life Alyx will be, you know, popular among people now, like the smartphones, then it definitely will be different.
Yeah, it's already different because it's already in our world. It's everywhere.
Yeah, but it's like it's not like everywhere. It's like for some selected people that had access to buy this device. But when we will have those glasses and controllers, when it would be like the same as a smartphone, then it would be really, really different.
Yeah, I mean that you have already access to buy some virtual reality devices.
Yeah. Like but those are like, you know, store. Like a toys, like a Tamagotchi. Do you remember Tamagotchi?
Yeah. What? It's like, you think it's the same virtual reality with Tamagotchi?
Well, the level of those devices, I mean, not like the idea behind it, but just comparing the level of development of those devices and where, for example, those you can buy in mass market are really low, like HTC Vive or something, I don't know. And if we talk about Half-Life, Index is way more better. And I think those are just first attempts to create something that people can use in, you know, to be popular.
Well, we'll see what's gonna happen. It's definitely right now, I think it's booming because with the esports tournaments and with the immersive technology. I saw like one of these glasses. I saw it like 1 year ago or 2 years ago. It's like a glasses that blocks the ads, you know, the advertising. I don't know if you see it. They have this stuff with the LED light or something like that.
Yeah.
That you go in the street and you cannot see like this LED ads. So if you live in New York, in Manhattan, I think it's perfect. If you like just walking through the Fifth Avenue. But I think if technology can develop in this way, you know, not just in the video game stuff, but in some helpful stuff or, you know, to do some devices that can help with people that are maybe blinders or something like that, you know, with the sounds or something.
Yeah.
So it's gonna help a lot, but Google Glasses, they already tried it, they failed. So maybe because the people weren't ready for the glasses.
Well, I think it's a complex thing. People, mindset, technologies, and all the stuff around, I think it's just, you know, sometimes people deliver new things that are too early for humanity. And that is why it's like, it's not going widespread. And sometimes it just happens and it's booming. And that's how some companies like Google and Facebook, they grew like enormously.
Yeah, they invest, they fail, they invest again. And they fail again, and they invest again, and then they finally success.
Thank you for listening. Hit the subscribe button and make sure to follow us on social medias @RussianCast. See you soon.